Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my own 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I shared everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. I've got Lana joining me, and she is going to, of course, share her success story. And one of the big game changers for her was SOT therapy. And if you've been listening to my podcast for any amount of time, I think it was about 6 months ago, I had an episode all about SOT because it was something I was not familiar with. So Tim Montag from New Hope Healing and Resource Center in Minnesota was my guest who talked all about SOT. And my guest today just so happened to be treated by Tim. So kind of a little full circle thing. So anyways, I'm excited to hear your journey. Lana, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm also so excited. Never did I think I would be here on the other side of Lyme telling people that I'm okay now. So I'm really honored to be
Right.
here.
Oh, well, and I'm so happy that you are on the other side of this journey because it's tough. It's tough. And in our darkest days, we just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so when we get here, I so appreciate guests like you that are vulnerable and are willing to share their journey with others because I truly think it's such a valuable resource to have when we're battling this illness. To make us not feel like we're alone or that we're crazy or that we have no hope and we can't get well, because you're proof. I'm proof, right?
That's
My
so
guests are
true.
proof. So I appreciate you joining me.
I'm so happy. And yeah, it's you're right. It feels really alone and it feels like there's no light. And anyone who's going through Lyme can definitely relate to that for sure.
100%. What's the phrase? You don't get it till you get it, right?
Oh, that's so true.
Right. All right. So I'm just going to let you start. Where does your journey begin, or do you even know?
Oh, no, actually, I wouldn't say I do know. Although I suspect that it started a lot earlier than I'm aware of. In 2010 was my first diagnosis with Lyme disease, and that was 3 days in the emergency room, complaining of headache and feeling really sick, neck stiffness. And I was like, something is wrong. I am dying. They would give me meds, send me home. And I was like, by the third day, I had bullseyes all over my body, which kind of make me think that I've been bitten by a dog tick and developed a bullseye, but I also had a bullseye on my arm and lots of lesions all over my body, which they were like, this isn't typical. So I think that that dog tick bite triggered maybe old infections to kind of flare up. And I was sick for about a year, did doxycycline for most of that year, just with traditional medicine. I went from specialist to specialist to specialist, as we all do, without really any answers. And didn't really get a whole lot of relief from the doxycycline, but it just wreaked havoc in my body. And then I was able to achieve remission, God only knows how at that time, and kind of quit. I just quit doctoring and tried to concentrate on my diet and stress and stuff like that. And then I was good for about 2 years. I had another flare up in 2010. I'm sorry, 2012. And again, it was like we didn't really know what all was going on, and we didn't even test or treat for Lyme at that time. I was just like, I'm very sick. I feel like I'm dying. I think I went to the emergency room over 20 times in a matter of about 6 months because you just feel like that today is the day my body's shutting down and you want help. And so you go to the place where we're taught to go for help. And for me, that was, emergency room, and I just could never get any answers. And again, trading specialists for the next specialist for the next specialist without any answers, and was able to achieve remission after about a year and a half. At that point, I
And
moved.
what did you, sorry to interrupt you. So
That's
I want to
okay.
kind of back up. So it sounds like you had obviously the bullseye rash, right? Which is the telltale sign that we are
Yes.
infected with Lyme disease. But unfortunately,
Right.
so many of us don't know. I mean, I clearly
Right.
had the bullseye rash, right? When it happened,
Yeah.
I didn't know what it meant. I mean, if only I knew that
Yeah.
simple thing, I could have spared 13 years of my life. And
Right.
$1 million of my journey, right? Like
Right.
it's crazy how we don't know what we don't know. So
That's true. Growing up in
you
Minnesota, too, the bullseye, like Lyme disease was pretty common, and the bullseye thing was pretty typical. I was living in Virginia at the time, and I'm like, isn't this kind of something? And they're like, oh, that's nothing. And by the third day in the emergency room, I was like, I think this is actually something. Can we just test for Lyme disease? Every time I've been diagnosed, I had to request a Lyme disease test.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so the test in the hospital, did it actually show that you were positive?
Luckily for me, yes, it did.
Okay.
I
And I
did test
think
positive.
it sounds like it's probably been in your body for a while, like you had said, and then
I
maybe
do
that
too.
last little bite kind of triggered your body, because usually the testing is not very accurate that you're going to get, especially in an emergency room. And oftentimes it
Right.
doesn't even show up if it's a brand new infection. So, okay. So you get a diagnosis, you treat on doxycycline,
Yes.
obviously wreaked havoc on your gut, right, for a year. And then you decided to kind of change your diet, your lifestyle, and quit the doxy, and you kind of felt normal. And then
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say normal. I think in the past, since 2010, I've always had issues. I've had insomnia, anxiety, severe stomach issues, weird food allergies that came out of nowhere. There's infertility, which I've struggled with since then, and I don't think I was ever well after that. I think it was just like kind of my head was above water, and then it would go below, and then it was above water, and then it would go below, but I never felt good.
Right. And that makes sense. So you probably put it enough at bay, right, that we can function and live our life.
Right.
But then anytime, I truly believe this, that anytime we have physical or emotional trauma is when things can pop out of remission and or even
Yes.
show up for the first time from it being dormant in our body for so many years. And that's why a lot of times I think people can't connect the dots with a tick bite versus them being
Right.
sick, because for me, I didn't get sick for 4 years until after the tick bite.
Oh,
So,
wow.
and one, I didn't know it was a tick bite, but I didn't even think about the spider bite I thought I had 4 years ago, because it was 4 years ago, right?
Right.
So I think that, makes things harder. I mean, it already is hard
Yeah.
enough to figure out and connect the dots during this journey. But when we don't
Right.
get sick for a long time, or something, maybe the trauma on your body was, delivering a child. And that's very, it's a beautiful thing, but it's very traumatic to the body. It
Right.
triggers all these things. They think that it's postpartum when really it could be Lyme. So there's so many things that don't add up during this journey for
Right.
sure. So you just were not well,
Yeah.
but you quit treating, you kind of went about, and then you did it again 2 years later. You kind of sunk
Yes.
back
Yeah.
down.
Well, and I slumped back down and had a myriad of health issues, including pancreatitis, which is terrible. Don't recommend that. And it was really bizarre, but we didn't really treat for Lyme. Every doctor I went to, they'd see, oh, you have a history of Lyme, maybe it's that. Or you have a history of anxiety, you're probably just anxious, get out of the house more. And it's like, no, something feels really wrong. And it's so frustrating when you just get dismissed over and over again by even not just doctors, but even like maybe even friends and family. Like, this might be in your head, you're probably fine. And it's like, I really feel like I'm not fine. You want someone to hear you.
Right.
So,
And
yeah.
that is
And
so hard. It's interesting you brought up pancreatitis, because I
oh.
totally forgot about that. During my 7 years of trying to figure out what was wrong with me, like you, I was in the emergency room, I can't tell you how many times I thought I was dying. I thought I was having a heart attack when it was anxiety, you know? But I remember going to the emergency room and they told me I had pancreatitis and they admitted me into the hospital. I was there for like 5 or 6 days. They gave me no food. I have like nothing with me. I don't have a phone charger. You know, I just went to the emergency room figuring they'd do something to make me feel a little better and then I'd go home. And yeah, so I don't know if there's a correlation between the two. I have no idea. I just know that I didn't have any pain. I didn't think, and I can't even recall that time why I went to the emergency room. And they're like, "Oh, you have pancreatitis." I'm like, "No, that feels fine. Nothing's wrong there." They're like, "Nope, and you can't eat." Like it was horrible.
Oh
Yeah. So,
gosh. My
but anyways, that's
experience
cur
was,
interesting.
yeah, that is really interesting. Something to look into, you know. For if you're listening and you've had pancreatitis, that'd be great to know.
Right,
But
right.
mine was excruciating pain, and it was horrible. I was a military wife living in Italy and on the base, and they didn't know what to do with me because they just deliver babies there basically. And so it was awful. They gave me terrible pain meds, which basically caused psychosis. I was admitted and I was like, I don't know. It was awful. My pancreatitis journey, but I was able to. I ended up coming home from Italy and moved back to the farm, and my family took care of me, literally like force-fed me. I was very underweight at the time and just emaciated, which is something I've never dealt with in my life. I've never had trouble keeping weight on, but at this time it was really tough to eat anything. I was so sick and so depressed and scared. And so I was able to kind of slowly come back over the next 6 months or so. And then I moved to Virginia Beach, lived on the beach. I eventually was able to come back, but again, I wasn't well. I was just
The
surviving.
beach can make anyone feel better, right?
It was
So
pretty
during
great.
this time, you're still not tracking it back to Lyme disease. Just all these
At this
things are
point,
going
no.
on. Yeah. Okay. So then you get well enough, you move to the beach, and then when was your next fallback?
Oh, years later. So, 2023, well, actually, like I would say 2022, I started experiencing a lot of arm pain, and I had just started a new career as a hairstylist. And I was like, oh, maybe it's just from this new job. I'm using my arms a lot more. I don't know. I was just seeing a physical therapist. I did not at that point think of Lyme at all. Eventually, I would say it got so bad that I was really having trouble doing a lot of daily things. But then June 6th, I remember the date. I had a horse show with my most favorite precious horse of my life. She's since passed away, but we had a great horse show. It was very, very hot. I felt terrible at the end of the day. I was sitting outside and I remember a flying insect bit me and caused like a black mark on my leg. And I thought, that's really weird. I've never seen that. And then over the next 3, 4, 5 days, I was not getting better from what I assumed was heat stroke. And I was like, I think I might have to go in and I'm just going to have them test for Lyme. Just because, like, this bug bite is weird, and I just want to make sure that it's not Lyme, basically. I did not think it would be Lyme. I thought it would be anything else in the world but Lyme. And when I got that call, it's weird, your IgG is coming back positive and your IgM is negative. Like, you never got over it. You're still, like, currently fighting it. And I was like, what? I said, I cannot do this battle again. It was awful. I can't go through this again. And I cried and cried. And now, if I only knew, I don't know what 2023 me would say if she knew everything I had to go through to get to this point, because the last 3 years now have been a beautiful hell. Like, beauty came from it, but it was intense agony.
That's
So,
a really good way to put it. A beautiful hell, right? And they say if you're going through hell, don't stop, just keep going. And you obviously did, right?
Yes, yeah.
So take us back to, I guess, 3 years ago when you really, okay, this is Lyme, I've got to do
Yeah.
this. How did you get your mindset right to not give up? Or did you have thoughts of
Oh,
giving up? Because you knew the battle
all the
was going to be
time.
tough, right?
Yeah, in the beginning, I was still somewhat hopeful. I did just like a little bit of antibiotics from the traditional doctor, and then immediately I was like, I'm not going to go through that route again and be passed from specialist to specialist. Someone told me about New Hope, which is in Alexandria, Minnesota. It's a great clinic, and I thought, well, I want to go to a Lyme specialist. I'm not going to go to a doctor that treats everything. I need to go to someone who knows everything about Lyme disease. And I had heard really good things about the clinic and people who have been ha really happy there. So I went there, and I remember thinking at the time I had been out of work for 2 weeks, and I was stressing, like, oh my gosh, I'm not working. Like, and then I had to pay out of pocket for this because insurance doesn't cover anything that works in Lyme disease. So I was stressing about the cost, which is just funny to me now. Because
But
it's
it's a
like,
lot. It's a big thing. And I
it
think
is a big
that,
thing.
you know, I talk with so many in the community and they're looking for resources to get help or get testing, but they have to use their insurance. And it breaks my heart to just be so blunt that you're not going to get the answers and you're not going to get well. It's unfortunate. And I don't want to say, nobody takes insurance, but out of all the tons of thousands of people I've interacted with in the last decade, I would say maybe 2% of them got things covered by insurance and was able to get well. So those are not very high odds right there, right? I mean,
No,
it
and
truly, it's we have to beg, borrow, and steal to figure out a way
yes,
to get the
literally.
treatment. But I also think that this is kind of where being our own advocate comes into play because everybody wants to sell you something, right? Nobody's going to give anything away for free. And I think that there are some practitioners out there that just simply are overcharging us. And I understand they're specialized, they have training, they have tools. I get all that, right? Like their value is important. But there's a fine line for sure. So we've got to find somebody that is reasonably affordable. And there are a lot of them out there. All right. So you found New Hope
I
and
found new hope.
it gave you
Isn't that a
hope.
great sentence? Yes. I walked in
Right.
and it was like people that just understood. They understood like the symptoms and the pain and not people not listening to you. It's like finally they're speaking my language, you know? And I met with Dr. Tim, who's probably one of the greatest human beings on the planet. Like, I can't even express my gratitude for him because he looked at me and listened to me and believed me and cared about me and was like, okay, he just has this way about him and he's so knowledgeable. He's always keeping up on the latest treatments and stuff like that, what the news says about this or that. And he walked me through all sorts of different options and we met for hours. And my mom and my sister came with me because I was so foggy in the head that I was like, I don't know if I'm going to understand or remember anything that's said to me. And so we all were like taking notes, and Tim was great. We also met with Amy Goodwin, who's one of the founders there, and incredibly compassionate, has a beautiful story of her own. They all have personal experience with Lyme disease or someone very close to them with Lyme disease. And so they founded this clinic because they understood how hard it is to get help. And I'm so eternally grateful for them. But
I love that. And
they,
just a shout out to them. So Amy Goodwin was also a past guest on my podcast a couple of years ago. So listeners, you can search for her name in my podcast and listen to her story. She has an incredible story and I love
Incredible.
what she turned her mission into, right? Like she turned her pain into a purpose. And from her is when I said, oh, so you have Dr. Tim there. Let's have him on to talk about SOT. So that was kind of how all that transpired. But yes, it sounds like an amazing clinic. And I think the ones to treat us that have gone through this journey, it's kind of the best way to go. So.
Yeah, I agree. And they gave me lots of different options. For everybody, it's different. Anyone who's listening that knows about the Lyme journey, there's a thousand different things that you can do that might help. And you can't try them all. I mean, unless you're very, very wealthy. I don't know. But they just helped me find a plan. And so we started out, they mentioned SOT to me in the beginning, which has a big price tag. It's close to $3,000, and I was like, ugh, I don't know. Let's try some of the more affordable options first, because I don't know if I can afford that big cost. And now looking back, I wish I had just done an SOT initially, because it was months of lost wages and months of trying every therapy and different antibiotics, different herbals, to try to get my head above water again. And then what ended up helping was the SOT. So, but they were
But
great.
do you think, because I believe oftentimes, sometimes we go through a few different Lyme doctors and, people get discouraged, like, well, that didn't help me. It was a waste of money. I truly feel like we learn something or gain something from every step of our journey, so to say. And so,
Or every failed treatment, maybe you could say.
right. And so I wonder if some of the things that you did prior to SOT helped your body or helped to build up the foundation. I mean, we'll never
Could
know,
be.
right?
We'll
But we
never
don't ever
know.
want to look at it as like a lost thing. But yes, I
True.
totally understand the high price tag, right? You're like, oh yeah, let's try something that sounds a little more reasonable.
And
So do you
I
recall what things that you did? Like, were there specific things that you did prior to the SOT?
Oh, so many, but we started treatment with antibiotics. We experimented with a couple based off my needs. There's lots of options for antibiotics, and I was not going to do doxycycline. We also did methylene blue. We started methylene blue right away. Glutathione, we did IV glutathione for a long time. Hyperbaric oxygen chamber, I loved. If I was closer to a hyperbaric oxygen facility, they have one at New Hope, but it's an hour away and you have to kind of do it like weekly. I loved my time in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. It was very beneficial for my brain and my body. I did PEMF, which was great for my pain. I loved the PEMF. I did infrared saunas, red light therapy, a few different IVs. Lots of hundreds of Epsom salt baths. I feel like I live in my bathtub, or I lived in my bathtub. And I did ionic foot detoxes.
What did you think about that? There's a lot of
Big
controversy
fan. There
about
is.
ionic foot baths, whether they work or not. And then some people say, well, you have to have a machine that costs, $3,000. And I'm all about quality, but I'm also about being financially smart, right? And so the clinic that I went to, they had one. And when I saw the stuff coming out of me, including metal toxicity, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, how much am I paying for this? I need this. So I bought the one that the clinic used. And I think it was around, I mean, it was under $500. So it was like maybe $400. It's my favorite one. And I think that you can get a good quality one. I thought, why not buy it? I think I'm going to do this all the time instead of, paying for the one at the clinic. So you love the foot bath as well. Okay,
I
that's good. I
loved
always
it.
like to hear that.
A friend of mine encouraged me to try it. Like, have you tried a foot bath for your Lyme disease? And I was like, huh. Like, what? And she was like, no, I'm serious. And I was like, I mean, I'll try it. And I had been in the salon, and it was a friend of mine who was at the same salon. And I had a busy day. I was in a lot of pain. My arms were just in excruciating pain. I did the foot bath, and afterward, I'm like, I had zero pain. And I said, and she brought me into it saying, I don't want to tell you any expectations. Just see how you feel. And I came out and I was like, I could do a whole other full foil right now. Like, so that really helped with my pain. I don't know if you had the same experience.
I don't th I want to say yes. My pain was so excruciating. And I mean, I was on fentanyl, Dilaudid, and morphine all at the same time. And that's from somebody
Oof-da.
who doesn't even take an aspirin for a headache. Like, I was so desperate. And so I don't know. I just know I felt good. So I can't tell you, I can't be specific about the pain. I was just fascinated that I could see metal flakes coming out of through my feet. That was fascinating to me because I treated for metal toxicities for a couple different times for a few years. I was highly toxic with metals and to see that come out. So I can't say for sure that it helped with my pain, but I know that I loved them and I felt better. So maybe.
Same. And yeah, and same for me with infrared saunas. I was like, I feel better, I think mood-wise more than anything when I would do an infrared sauna. It was
Interesting.
like I could come out and be like, okay, we're gonna be okay, and go in there and be like, just like, I can't go on. You're tired and you're sad and you're suffering physically and emotionally, and that helped me a lot with my mood. There was a big turnaround. I had a really generous friend who has an IV place in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and she was like, "You just need to come here. I don't care. Don't even worry about payment right now. Just come here at least once a week and get an ionic foot detox and do an infrared sauna." And she basically forced me to do it because I was just at home, bedridden.
I love that.
Lifesaver, right?
I love that. That's interesting about the infrared sauna, how it enhanced your mood. I haven't
Oh,
heard that. It,
for
which is
sure.
so different, right? We all get such different results from things.
And her sauna had chromotherapy, and I would always put it on green. I wish I could remember, but if I ever get an infrared sauna, I would get one with the chromotherapy because I think that helped a lot. I think green was for like happiness. And I was like, it was just on green the first time, and then I did feel really good, and then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, maybe there's something to the chromotherapy.
So I've never heard that term chromotherapy. So is that instead of the lights being red, they're green?
Yes, and there's a whole spectrum of colors that you can choose from, and different colors are supposed to help with different things. And I would have put a jelly bean in my nose if someone said it might help. Like, so there, if there's anything that might help, I'm gonna try it. So I was like,
Right.
okay, I'm gonna try this chromotherapy thing with my sauna, and I think it helped.
I love that. Okay, because I have my favorite red light box that I use at home, another tool that I had bought along my journey. It doesn't have green, but it has like a yellowish. So, and I know that it's more for a different type of thing, right? Like the red portion of it is for, inflammation and pain, and that's what I initially used it for. So interesting about that. But yeah,
That is.
you'd
Try
stick a
it.
jelly bean in your nose. That is hilarious. And it is true, right? Like we get so
Desperate.
desperate. Who would have ever thought we would do the things that we did during this
No
journey?
kidding. And then everyone's messaging you. I'm very open on like my social media because I don't want to just post the fake stuff. So I'm open. And if, you're going to hear the nitty-gritty if you've got me in your life, basically.
I
And
love it.
and so I was like, I'm struggling, here's what's going on. And people, I would just get so many messages of people like, oh, my so-and-so's cousin's dog benefited from this, and so many like recommendations. And it's like, I can't afford to do any of this. It's so hard to know. And I think people just want to help. It's genuinely like they're wanting to help, but at the same time, there's just too much. There's too much that there is to try, and you feel overwhelmed when you're in that state. There, you feel like, I don't know what the right path is. And I remember Tim Montag was telling me, I said, how do I know what to choose? And he was like, I think sometimes it's like you have to feel it in your gut. And that really resonated with me. I've talked to Tim about like everything. I remember talking to him by the side of the lake, crying, saying, I don't know if my husband can take care of me anymore. I feel so bad. And he like literally talked me down and said, my wife has been sick, and I promise you I would take care of her till the end of our life. Like, I promise your husband is fine. He's just wonderful. So wonderful. But I think when he said that, I was like, okay, I can listen to my gut and try to decide what's right.
I think that that is a really good recommendation because it is so overwhelming. And like you said, you have all, your friends, everybody wants to chime in because something worked for them. Yeah, we love that, but unfortunately, not everything works for everybody
For
the same
everyone.
way. And we don't have money to try this and try that and try
And
this,
we're not working. For me, financial stress was huge, huge.
It is
So,
huge. And sometimes people will start on a protocol and then they'll hear something from someone else and then they'll want to jump on that. You truly have to, I love that, go with your gut. Really, whether you are, a person of faith, you want to pray about it, go with your heart, go with your gut. You really need to find what resonates with you and put it in your head like that. This is it. This is what I'm doing. This is what's going to get me well. And go with it because your mind has to be right, or it doesn't matter what type of therapy you do, it's not going to work.
And I think for me, eventually, I came to the conclusion, and there was a lot of prayer involved in my journey, that I think I wouldn't be here without, but I eventually said, I'm going to try this SOT thing. I can't do this anymore. And so, about a year and a half into being debilitated and unable to take care of myself and work and everything, I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead with the SOT. I just need to figure out how to pay for it. And someone in my life who was very generous called New Hope and said, I want to pay for Lana's SOT, and they paid in full, which I got the call from the secretary, Kara, who were like, she's like, hey, Lana, like, we first name basis. She's so great. She's like, so I've got really good news. Someone just paid for your SOT. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I was able to do the SOT in January of 2025, my first SOT. We tackled
That makes
Lyme.
me tear up.
Yes. Oh,
I
they're.
love that because you never know who your angels are, right? Like,
Yes.
so that's
Oh.
amazing.
And I told myself in that moment, I was like, someday I'm going to be, I want to call and say, if there's a Lana here that needs help, I will pay for their SOT. Because when you're working $3,000, it's not the end of the world. But when you're not working and you're despaired, it feels so out of reach. Even $100 feels out of reach. So it was
100%.
incredibly generous, and it gr brought me about 3 months of relief. And I was like feeling great. I would say 2.5 months, and I started to kind of feel symptoms creeping back in. And with SOT, you can only tackle one co-infection at a time. And I had Lyme, anaplasmosis, and Bartonella. And so we tackled Lyme disease with the first one.
And
And
so after the first one for
yeah.
Lyme, so immediately you felt a lot better.
I would say there was about 2 weeks of herxing, and then but mild, and then I started to just improve, felt great. I was snowmobiling, I was playing with horses, I was, doing all the things that I love, working back to work a little bit, and I saved money, a bit of money for my next SOT. And then a friend of mine helped me start a GoFundMe page because I was like just financially distressed. And so then when I started to decline, we knew that we might have to repeat another SOT. The way SOT works in your body is that it makes it so that the bacteria can't replicate. But if the SOT can't win the battle, then you're gonna slowly start to have more symptoms again from that bacteria. Or the SOT wins the battle, and then in my case, which we didn't know at the time, a co-infection reared its ugly head. So we did a second SOT in June that I was able to pay for, and nothing, no relief.
And so, what was the second one for?
That was for Lyme again.
So,
So
you did the
now
same
looking
one
back,
twice. Okay.
yes. Now looking back, we think that Lyme calmed down, and then Bartonella started overtaking, like, oh, here's my opportunity. Here's where I shine. But at the time, we didn't know that. And so then when I did that SOT in June with like my last pennies and didn't get relief. It was a new kind of suffering. And the next 6, 8 months, August, I started feeling pretty crummy, and I didn't get more than like 1 or 2 days of relief here and there for months. And it was absolutely horrible. It's a blur. I've experienced a lot of pain in my arms and legs, tremors to where I could say, okay, hand, pick up this fork, and my hand would not respond. And it became very hard to get myself to the bathroom and prepare myself food. And I know there's definitely someone listening right now who is experiencing that. And I'm with you. It is so hard. And then you feel like such a burden to your loved ones who are taking care of you. But just think, like, if the roles were reversed, you would be happy to take care of your loved ones no matter what. So, yeah, it was several months of really dark times for me. And December, it was just getting worse and worse all the time. I was still doctoring. At the end of December, I had a doctor's appointment with New Hope, and I called and canceled it because I was done fighting, basically. And sorry, this part's really hard.
Take your time because this is part of our reality, right? And for some people, it starts in the beginning, like myself. I became hopeless and suicidal because, according to the doctors, nothing was wrong with me. If nothing's wrong with me, I can't get well. And for
Right.
people like yourself, Lana, it is, you get so much hope because you can see improvement. Right.
Right.
And you get a taste of your life again, and then
Yeah.
it gets ripped out from underneath you.
Yeah.
So
That's
I can't
exactly what it was.
imagine how that is.
Yeah, and I hadn't been able to work pretty much August through December, and I had no money, so I was like, I can't come. And I just called. I remember I called Kara, and I was crying, and I was like, I have to cancel. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yep, I just can't do an appointment today. It was even a Zoom call, and I was like, I can't do it. And she hesitantly was like, okay, well, call us if you need anything. And in the next 2 weeks, I was just fighting every hour to stay here because I did not want to. And I didn't think there was any reason for me to be here. My quality of life was so low. My suffering was intense. I had no availability for treatment. I had lost my horse, which was one of my like tethers to stay here in this world. My family is incredibly close. And so it was like I knew I just had to stay for them all the time. And there came a time when I was like, you know what? Maybe they'll understand. And I just felt so guilty for relying on them so much, and I felt like I was just a burden to them. So I said, in that deluded mindset, I said, they're going to be so much better if I'm not here because they won't have to take care of me. And I got in my car. I had recorded videos. I had all my funeral stuff planned out. I had recorded videos for my family, and husband. And my husband was with me through all of this. Like, he knew how bad it was, but he was fighting to try to keep me here too. And I was just like, you know what? You don't deserve this either. And I got in my car, and with the intention of not arriving anywhere. And I ended up driving myself to the emergency room. And I remember walking in and saying, I can't afford to be here right now. And they were like, let's not worry about that. What's going on? And I was like, I don't want to be alive anymore. Like, my quality of life is so low. Can you, like, I just want to be put down. If I was a dog suffering this much, you'd put me down. I can't fight anymore. And I felt so alone. So, I was able to get some help after that, and my family just completely supported me and encouraged me day after day after day, and my husband's family too. I remember his grandma, who's 82 years old, came and scrubbed my floors and helped me get into the tub. Like, people showed up, and I ended up contacting New Hope, and I said, there was, it got real close, and this is what's happening, and I just wanted you guys to know because I know they care about me. And they called, and they bent over backwards to get me in and help me. They have a wonderful therapist there, and I met with her before this and after this, and she said, we can talk every day if you want. We need to get through this. We're here for you. We support you. And Amy was wonderful. She helped me with so much at the time. And there was a lot going on personally too. And they got me back on my feet just out of the kindness of their hearts. They could have said, okay, you don't want a doctor anymore. See ya. But they were like fighting for me to stay here. And so Amy said, let's give it one more SOT shot, because I had also developed some like OCD type symptoms and really bizarre emotional, mental, psychological symptoms. She said, I think we're fighting Bartonella right now. And I said, oh my gosh, I think you're right. And that's why my SOT didn't work. My Lyme SOT didn't do anything, because this is Bartonella. And she goes, can we try one more SOT for Bartonella? And it was like me throwing a Hail Mary. I was like, okay, this is going to be the last hurrah. And that same friend helped me get set up another GoFundMe page. And I said, nobody cares anymore. Nobody wants to help anymore. They've already donated to me. I'm not better. Nobody cares. And I didn't think that anyone would show up. And within 24 hours, I had that money raised for my SOT. I called Kara at New Hope and I said, let's book it. I've got it. I'm ready. I want to be better. I can't go on like this. And so we did my SOT. We drew blood in February and I got it back early March. I had started eating really healthy. I had read an article about doing a keto diet for Lyme disease that my brother-in-law sent me. Highly recommend the keto diet. So I'd started kind of eating healthy. I went out to the mountains, which I love. And my family basically forced me to come with them on our family trip. I was feeling so crappy. I was like, it's a ski trip. I was like, I don't really know if I can go this year. I can't afford it. They're like, you don't have to pay anything. Just come with us. They fed me healthy food. We were in the mountains. Change of scenery, and I started to feel better. I came home, I did my SOT. I had no herxing, which I was a little worried about, but I have been better since that day. And I would say 95% of the time, I am completely normal, which is a miracle I can't even describe to you. I never thought that I would be okay again. And here I am. I'm able to work. I can ride horse. I can get 10,000 steps in a day and it doesn't faze me. I recognize the person in the mirror now. I feel like I'm just rediscovering life, and my faith has helped a lot. I've prayed so much, and I think I finally came to the realization that there's a beauty in suffering, and I'm grateful for suffering because so much deeply good things. Like, it might not seem good in the world, but it's good, so good for your soul and for your eternal life to experience hardship that there's something really beautiful about it. So I was like, not only accepting that I was suffering, but like, thank you, God, for this suffering. Thank you for this lesson, whatever it's teaching. Thank you if I can help even one person with my story of healing. It's all worth it. Every tear, which there were many, and every feeling of despair was worth it if one person can be helped with my story.
I love that.
Thank
And yes, I
you.
promise you, you're going to help thousands of people that listen to this episode because it's what so many of us go through, but we're afraid to talk about it, right? We're embarrassed, we're ashamed, we feel like a burden. And you touched on so many things, Lana. Like, I'm so grateful for you not making me cry, but
Sorry about
for
that.
just being so open and honest about this, because I know somebody out there needs to hear this episode and know that there is hope on the other side of it. And I
Yes.
love that you said, what did you call it earlier in the show? Like a beautiful pain. Is that you said beautiful
Beautiful,
something?
beautiful hell.
Beautiful hell. That's right.
Yeah.
And it truly is, but there is something like you. Like it really just, until you go through something like this, I just think it gives you a whole new perspective on everything, everything in this world, and just reshapes you into somebody different. And it doesn't mean it's a bad different. It's a
No,
beautiful different.
it's a beautiful, better, different, and I'm just so grateful for I'm grateful for this whole thing. And that's really, I never thought I would get to that point, but I am so grateful that God brought me through this and made me strong. And I want to share one thing. We had a horse that had a head injury, and we didn't think she would survive, and she didn't survive. Just trigger warning, but she fought for almost 2 days without being able to stand up, and she was such a strong-willed, spirited horse. And I remember sitting with her, with my little niece who was 7, and she. It was our, shift to watch her, and she was trying to get up, and then she'd rest, and she tried to get up, and I said, "She is such a fighter, isn't she?" And my little innocent sweetheart niece said, "Just like you." And I was like, "Me? Are you talking to me?" And she's like, "Yeah, with your Lyme disease." And I'm like, "You think I'm a fighter?" And she said, "Yeah, like obviously." And I was like, "Yeah." Like, if this makes her someday face something and say, if Lana can fight that, I can fight through this, it would be worth it, you know? And so there, that was a really God moment for me that I was like, even in the suffering of this horse losing its life, like there's some kind of beautiful lesson that's coming from it. So yeah, it's a change of perspective and finding peace in suffering. And I think you're a part of the Chronic Lyme page on Facebook where you see daily people are saying, "Do you ever get your life back?" And everyone's like, no. And it's maybe you don't, but you can get a new life and love the life that you have. And I feel like I've gotten my life back, but better.
Yes.
So there's hope, and please keep going. Keep going. Just one more day. Keep fighting. You can do it.
It's so important. Wow. Okay. I don't even know what to say. You have me just so emotional, but I truly appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing your voice. I'm so thankful that you found the beauty in this. And the power to share your voice to help others, because people need to hear your story. So, listeners,
Oh,
please
thank
share
you.
this because somebody needs to hear this. So,
Yeah.
share it and be part of spreading the word. And as always, listeners, we will put in the description of this episode all about Tim Montag's clinic that Lana went to and all the other stuff that we talked about. So,
Yeah.
thank you so much, Lana. I
Thank you
appreciate
so
you.
much. I'm so happy you're doing this and helping people, and I hope someday I can help people like you are, on a large platform, because it is so important. People are in despair. They need to hear you.
And you just helped them.
Oh, I hope so.